nice coat. Thanks.
November 11th, 2000. November 20th.
You'd think if I was so excited for this fucking release day, I could say it.
Oh my god. How's it going, guys? This will be podcast number 4. I'm flanked by Andrew.
How you doing?
A few things to talk about since last month's podcast. Hasn't been terribly busy on the gaming fronts, but Gamescom went on in Germany. That's something to talk about. A few games have been revealed over there. A few trailers for games we'd like to talk about. All in all, not a lot, but enough to where I figured we should do another one. And all right, with that being said, let's just dive right into the old show-a-rooney. Andrew, first up, what have you been playing segment? What have you been playing?
Recently, just today, beat the old New Vegas. Took me quite a while. But
I wonder why.
Yeah, I was able to actually power through it, and with even on so many obstacles that they gave me, I was able to actually get it done with two different game discs and countless restarts.
You know, you have a just pinnacle of game development when to beat the game, not difficulty wise, just to beat the game because of the technical hurdles is a big deal.
Yeah, it's not the best for Obsidian.
I know you had tons of bugs. I never really had that many bugs that game, to be honest. I mean, other than the falling through the floor or something like that, but game crashing bugs, they weren't too frequent for me.
Yeah, and that's what weirds me out. It can deal with things like that. I can deal with geometry effects going bad, textures not coming in right, some kind of glitch here or there, but it was so many problems for me where I couldn't even play the game. It wouldn't even load a save, it wouldn't load an area, it would freeze, and it drove me bonkers.
Oh, I can understand how it would be frustrating, definitely. I do have to ask you, though, now that you've finally beaten it. You know, I beat it way back in October, I guess, when it came out, because I kind of powered through it. Uh-huh. What did you think of the game as a whole, ending and all, compared to Fallout 3? What did you think of it?
It was completely awful. To be honest, the best part of the game were just the little mini tweaks they put into it from Fallout 3, where you could aim down the sight, put mods on your gun. Basically, that was it. Pretty much that and companions were the only good thing about that game.
Like I said, I gameplayed that game and beat it way back when, and I have to ask a question. I know there's been 2, maybe 3 DLC packs. Does that extend the story? Are you familiar with that? Because Fallout 3 ended, and that kind of pissed me off, and I was absolutely shocked when I beat New Vegas. Like, that's game over. I was like, I had more to do. What the fuck?
From what I get, apparently I think it doesn't actually extend after you beat it. It's just you got to go back to an old loaded save game and before you ever did the ending and play the extensions from there.
That's just so broken in a game like that, I think. The fun is, you know, going through all these detours you have, and then once you beat the game, you're at a level where you can just go around and do whatever the hell you want. That's what makes those games fun, to explore after you've beaten it. I don't know why they capped it like that.
I mean, all I can think about that game is it's a cheap knockoff. What are those expensive watches that these guys on the streets
you're
trying
talking
to sell?
About,
the Rolex.
The,
yeah,
Rolex.
The Rolex. It's the cheap Rolex. It's this like, oh, hey, this is our New Vegas. Oh, it's like Fallout 3.
Fallout 3 is the Rolex. Fallout New Vegas is the Rolodex.
Yeah, it's the Rolodex. There's no numbers on it. It's just that's all you get. You get like one hand and a couple of lines.
I hate to say it, but I really feel like New Vegas was a bit of a cash grab. I thought, for all intents and purposes, it was not a good game.
It was awful. Okay, so I played the New Vegas. I hadn't really touched much of the Xbox Live games, you know, on the arcade. But so what are you playing, Logan?
I got to be honest. I've been in a gaming crisis mode. There's really nothing to play. The boys, we've been playing a lot of fighting games, Street Fighter, Marvel, Mortal Kombat, I've been playing a good bit of, but there's only so much a man can take. I enjoy them, but there's really nothing to play, and I haven't been playing anything. The most variation I've got on my games was when we all got together last night and played Kinect games like Fruit Ninja and shit like that.
And watch Chris make a fool of himself.
Yeah, Chris was quite drunk and quite foolish, but... That is something I would like to point out, though. Thanks to Microsoft's rewards points glitch, I got that Fruit Ninja game for free, and that was actually pretty fun.
Yeah, what I played, I liked it.
800 points might be a bit pricey, really, for what that is. But, you know, simple or not, I think that's a great use for the Kinect because it works good.
Uh-huh.
And these games trying to make it more than it is, I don't approve of as compared to just something simple like that. And if you enhance the game with it, that's great. But when you build it around it, it's like the Wii. It's fun for what it is, but it's not much. But that's okay.
Yeah, I honestly got to agree with you on that one. That Kinect game really shows the essential of Kinect and the way it should be, as opposed to the, I guess I'm going to say, over-glorification of the Kinect games coming out now, like Kinect Sports 2 and that Fable Journey. It's all...
The Fable game's a great example because, yeah, I guess that's kind of neat. Oh, you can draw a spell pattern with your hand. Well, that's cool, but the problem is the core fundamental of a game, a.k.a. being able to move your fucking character around, is gone because the Kinect can't do that.
It's like going on a Disney ride. You just put hands and feet in the seat, please.
It's literally 5 steps forward, 500 steps back. But anyways, that's really all I've been playing. We'll get to it a little later in the show, but I'm excited for a game coming out soon. We'll definitely touch on it. But as for currently, nothing really out, nothing I'm really playing. Well, that wasn't much, but that is what we've been playing. I hate to say. We'll throw out a little news here. Gamescom happened this past week over in Cologne, Germany. It's the biggest convention over there, they say, but it's more like table scraps. It's usually games you've seen at E3, maybe a little bit of new stuff here, new stuff there. There wasn't really huge announcements, just a bunch of new stuff, and even then, not so much new stuff. We might as well rename the opening part of our news segments the Batman and Mass Effect 3 updates, because something happened with Arkham City, Andrew, and what happened?
Yes, sir. We got one pretty big piece of news and then one slightly pretty good piece of news. First big piece of news is that we got a new trailer for the Mr. Freeze in Batman.
All right, everyone, chill.
It's a nice cinematic trailer about how Batman goes in and meets Mr. Freeze, and you get to see all the gameplay footage of that. But from what I get, it's going to be a big boss battle type of deal with Mr. Freeze, you know, sort of like they did with Bane, where you see Bane and then you battle him. And the few things I got is that apparently you're, you know, going in there to find something from him, and then he comes and attacks you or whatever. But the thing I do like about it is that it looks like they're upping the ante on the boss battles. They're putting a little time and effort into it, and I like that.
If there is one legitimate complaint I can levy against Arkham Asylum, is that the boss fights were pretty terrible for the most part. Maybe not terrible, but they got old. There was not enough personality to them. How many enemies does Batman have? And they're all different. Scarecrow was done right. I wasn't a huge fan of the platforming parts, but it was still something different, and it was done right. Killer Croc, not really a boss fight, but it had tension. It was a bigger character than Batman, and he was chasing it. It was good.
Yeah.
And from what I could tell, and I've seen the trailer a couple times, you're the resident Batman expert, but it looked kind of like it was a stealthy sequence, which I like that.
Yeah, it did, and it looked like they were going to change it up mid-battle. Like he, you know, shot a freeze gun and it would hit on the rail, and so you wouldn't be able to use that anymore. And
exactly.
So it's like, you know, on your toes type of deal. You got to think in the moment.
It's exactly. And the whole idea around most Batman villains, you know, once again, correct me if I'm wrong, but they have certain advantages that I'd like to say the only thing they can keep Batman from doing is getting, you know, there's no hand-to-hand combat with them. Once Batman's in, it's over. You're done. So the idea is, you know, tricks, deception, a bigger technological advantage like Mr. Freeze, anything like that. And that's what the games that I feel like Rocksteady are so true to the comics and Batman itself, that's why I couldn't believe there wasn't more things like that in Arkham Asylum. And I feel like they're going the correct direction with Arkham City, and I cannot wait.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's going to be good. But a second bit of news is that they released on the Twitter for Arkham City, mm-hmm. They said that Batman Arkham City would be supported with 3D, even if you don't have a 3D TV. And from what I get, I'm going to say that means that it's going to be like Game of the Year, where you can, you know, switch between 3D and regular, and you can have the glasses and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But they have mentioned with that 3D TV, I don't know if that's going to mean, like I said, or if it could mean that it's going to be, if you have a 3D, if you have a 3D TV, you can see it in 3D. And if you don't, you can still see it regularly. But if you buy a 3D TV, you can switch it over to the 3D TV without any problems or anything like that.
Hmm. Well, from what I understood, and I'm not, once again, terribly sure, because it was kind of vague the way they wrote it. was that instead of being the classic red, blue, or green, magenta, the new kind of 3D thing like the 3D or like the Game of the Year version it did, that it was going to be stereoscopic, which is, from what I understand, like kind of project the game console will generate two different images in, you know, the clear glass, like you have to move at the theater.
Oh, yeah, like the $70 ones.
Yeah. So Jay tried to tell us the other night that it comes with glasses like Game of the Year, but I don't think you can package in those kind of glasses. I never saw anything about packaging in glasses.
Yeah, and that's the one thing I didn't get. I you know, they showed the full setup of the collector's edition and everything. Uh-huh. You know, they had the full picture of all that spread out, and I didn't see any glasses in there at all. They didn't make mention of it or anything.
I'm leaning towards the fact that it will be, if you happen to have a 3D TV, yes. But even then, if you happen to have the glasses, it'd probably still generate. I don't know anything about 3D television, to be honest.
Yeah, neither do I. And that's, both of us are sort of on uncharted territory with that one.
As always, that we like to do on this podcast, me and Andrew both claim ignorance on the subject.
I plead the fifth.
There you go. Personally, I played Game of the Year Edition. Didn't think the 3D was that impressive. Gave me a big headache, but that's probably just a personal thing.
Yeah, I've heard so many people when they play, they're like, oh, I get a headache from watching 3D. And I don't get a headache when I play it. I think it's fun to play with 3D a lot of the time.
I think it's a personal thing. What was that one movie? Coraline? Was that it? The Tim Burton?
Oh, yeah.
Was that? Bailey got that a while back, and we watched it in 3D, and it was really neat 3D effect, but at the end of the movie, it was like, I can't do this anymore. I'm about to fucking pass out from a headache. But 3D movies, especially ones like the Resident Evil one that are made for 3D, you know, that's fun to go see in 3D because they have 3D effects. Uh-huh. Batman, I feel like the only thing that would be there to do is get in my goddamn way when I'm trying to beat up people.
To each his own, and it looks like it's just going to be an added feature, and that's good. It's not...
There is nothing wrong with a little gravy on the mashed potatoes.
Oh, yeah. Always good. Always good.
I will have to disappoint at one thing while we're on the topic of 3D. You know I'm not a huge supporter of it, but
yeah,
I feel like it could be done right with games. Do you remember that Child of Eden game, which I thought was crap? But
oh, yeah.
That would be a cool 3D game, don't you think?
You know what would be more cool? If it was actually a full game and not just five levels.
Fair enough, but that's getting beside the point.
All right, now that we've finished talking about my game, I'd like to get into your game, Logan, Mass Effect 3. Tell me what we have to offer for that.
Just like I said earlier, just like every podcast, now that we're talking about Batman, let's talk about Mass Effect 3 a bit. Yeah, they brought Mass Effect 3 to Gamescom. Not too much to show. They promised a lot. I didn't see anything really that new on the gameplay front. But the trailer they showed was pretty interesting. They called it the Squad Leader trailer. And it opens with, you know, Mass Effect Combat Reveal Part 1. So I'm imagining there'll be more of these. And it showed off the Engineer class. And it was a new level, but it was still the same shit we've already seen. Shepard fighting Cerberus. But they finally showed some of the Atlas fight, the big mech. Trailer-wise, it was kind of neat. I like seeing the Engineer being played. It had a lot of cool stuff. I like how the squad interacts with each other more. I thought that was neat.
I do just want to ask, when he was doing all that, was that showing off some of the Kinect kind of stuff? Because I know there was no actual voice of someone in there, you know, telling you things, but it almost seemed like, you know, Shepard would say something and then they do it. And to me, that Shepard saying the action that the other person needed to do, that almost sounded like it was mirroring an actual player saying that through the Kinect and using the new feature they have.
Well, I'm sure it's not word for word, you know. It can't pick up what you're saying, but it's very possible that it's a bit more fleshed out. So instead of saying, move up every time, you know, maybe he has like there was a one instance where he said, get behind that box, because they pointed to the cover behind a box, which that's pretty impressive attention to detail. I like that. And a Mass Effect, I feel like, is a game that's all about immersion, and that's a great way to kind of add to the experience.
And I do have to ask something else. What happened to Liara when that mech came at her? Did he break her neck?
To me, it looked like the old Unreal Tournament 2003 impact hammer melee weapon. Just yeah. Somebody, they were talking about that on the old internet, and I believe the comment from Bayer was, don't try to punch the Atlas mech. So don't get close to that thing, apparently.
I just love how last night I told you about that, and you said, well, literally, what they said is, no, she's not dead. She's just napping.
There you go. Which is the classic Mass Effect squad mate dance. Take a nap. Oh, Lord. But it showed off some new weapons. I like how the squad interacted. Nothing terribly fancy, but neat.
So you think it's a good opener to apparently a series of trailers they're going to do?
I believe maybe even PAX, which is coming up next week, if I'm not mistaken. PAX East? I'm not sure, but... Yeah, they're going to trickle those out. One thing it tells me, though, this is the, I guess, technically third trailer, but, you know, ever since E3, they have shown Garrus and Liara, and that's it. I don't think they're going to really tell you anything at all about the story. They're Johnny tight lips in it until March 6th.
Well, that's a good thing, I suppose.
Yeah, but a junkie like me, I wish they'd trickle out some more information. Still, though, I don't have a problem. I'm with you. I would not want it to be spoiled at all.
So I'm not too in-depth on this next subject about Mass Effect that they talked about or that was going on. Apparently, they redid the poll for the female Shepard voting that they introduced at Comic-Con. I mean, what's up with that? I don't know really much anything about the reintroduction of it.
Like I said, I don't know if I said anything about this last podcast, but the last thing I wanted them to do was drag this voting out. I thought it was neat they let the fans vote, but once the fans have chosen, let them choose. And there was a big backlash, most of it claiming, like, racism because it was the white, blonde-haired one, which, okay.
Weren't 4 out of the 6 white?
5 out of the 6, actually, I believe. But I don't know. I love the things people get up in arms about. But anyways, at the end of the day, I guess they decided that there was people liked the hairstyle but did not like the hair color. So they made 4 more with different hair colors, which all look rather stupid to me. It honestly looks like something I do in Photoshop, like drew a color on top of it and just filtered it. The redhead one is gonna win. The Shepherd will be the same as the blonde hair one, but she'll be redheaded, and it looks like her hair is fire red, like a dyed red. It just looks stupid. So
well, everyone loves the redhead, I suppose.
I guess so. They wasted all this time voting just so they could revote on a stupider looking female Shepherd. It's nice to let the fans do something like this, but 2 votes, that's already 1 too many. Redhead wins, put her on the fucking cover, make some trailers, you're done with it. All right, that'll conclude the Batman and Mass Effect wrap-up for this month, since we seem to have one all the time. Let's move to something we hadn't talked about in a while. Gears of War 3, which is a mere month, actually less than a month away now. It's kind of hard to believe I'm saying that.
Oh, but, yeah.
Gears of War 3, it had a showing at Gamescom. They showed off some trailers, gameplay footage, stuff we hadn't seen before. So, Andrew, what'd you think of the stuff they showed at Gamescom?
Well, there was actually quite a bit of showing about the new campaign for Gears 3 recently. I know Game Trailer, the actual website, had about almost 15 to 30 minutes of gameplay of the actual trailer, and GTTV actually did a special 1 episode about the whole campaign trailer. And from what I know, there was an actual leak of the game, and so some people have actually posted the entire campaign on YouTube and stuff like that. And so it's really getting out there for some reason.
In response to that leak, I think it was one of those things that it wasn't like a burnt copy of the disc that's coming. It was JTAG is what they call it, the 360, whatever. Hacked Xboxes that were development kits were the only ones to play it, so it was buggy and all. I haven't heard too much about that, but I did hear it happen. But as far as the campaign, I'm pretty sure I've seen what we're referring to. It revolved around Baird, Cole, what's her name? The black-haired woman.
The other one.
From Dragon Age.
Yeah.
It's the voice of Morgan from Dragon Age. Yeah. I forget her name. It's like a Sam, Samantha something. Okay, that's
something
right.
Something like that.
And there's somebody else in the party. Party squad.
I believe it was Carmine.
Carmine, yeah, the new Carmine. So that is what they showed, right? Because that's all I saw.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things they actually did show, yeah.
It looks interesting, doesn't it? I've never been the world's biggest Gears fan. I know there's a lot of huge Gears people out there, but I enjoy the games, and I thought it looked pretty interesting.
To be honest, I have a feeling it's going to be pretty funny. Like, it's actually going to be a good campaign playthrough.
If you think so?
Yeah, if we can get everyone in there, if we can do a whole 4-person campaign thing going, it'll be pretty funny.
I like the four player campaign they got going. I personally liked Gears of War 1's campaign. I thought that was a lot of fun because that was the first game on the Xbox I thought did co-op really right. Gears of War 2 I thought was rather shitty campaign wise. It was pretty boring, just shoot, which granted Gears of War 1 was that too, but maybe it felt a bit more fresh at the time.
I gotta place it on. I thought Gears 1 wasn't really trying to be overly dramatic and too into their own story. And Gears of War 2, they went a bit too deep. Literally in the ground, they went a bit too deep. And tried to make too much of a story there. Whereas, you know, it's just, these are the bad guys, we're the good guys. Give me some interesting fights to go down.
Exactly. It's kind of the Halo 1 syndrome, or not Halo 1, or the Halo franchise. Halo 1 was still, you know, people, I always say this, Halo gets a bad rap for being the kind of teenage, oh man, cool gun game. But Halo 1 was a fantastic game and had a really good campaign. And maybe they had a little backstory, you know, behind it that they wanted to expand on. But at the end, it was, you know, the classic kind of sci-fi, stranded on the alien planet kind of story. And it was neat.
Yeah.
And the more they got into it, the stranger it got. 2 was especially shitty, but Halo 3 was a pretty good campaign. So maybe Gears of War will have the same fate.
But I did see they are introducing a lot of new types of guns that I do like the idea that, where Gears 2 just seemed to be a lot of the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so Gears 3, they're going to have a lot of, like, they've got one gun where it takes two people to really use.
Really?
Yeah. So
I hadn't seen this.
Yeah, it's some kind of machine gun. They talked about it on the GTTV where, you know, one person puts the gun on their shoulder and they actually fire it, but it's like Halo where, you know, if you rip the turret off, you get to use it, but you can only use 200 bullets. And so mm-hmm. with this, it's only like 600 shots, but there, if you get someone behind you, another player, they can grab an ammo box and you'll get an infinite amount of ammo, but the other person behind you isn't going to be able to shoot.
That's pretty freaking cool.
Oh, yeah, and they also say, like, mech suit, you can hop out of it and use it as cover and then hop back in and all that kind of stuff.
That's cool. Yeah. I like what they're doing with the kind of team dynamic with it.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be pretty interesting.
So I'm certainly not playing Gears for the story, but I'd like to see how this little thing wraps up. And 4-player co-op, I don't think you can go wrong with that.
Oh, yeah. And I do got to say, I think that will be the game to fill September.
That's one thing that, once again, personally, I know people love Gears of War 2, but I thought Gears of War 2 Online was... they slowed it down, I guess, trying to make it more fair, and it just made it a lot more boring and unfair, to be honest to me.
Uh-huh.
Gears of War 1 was kind of rough and had that Halo 1 kind of, I know I'm referring to Halo again, but it's it's like a game that's kind of not half done, but just there's a multiplayer segment just there, and it's fast-paced, and it's just fun, and Gears 2 wasn't that. But the beta for Gears 3 made me feel a little better about Gears 3. I feel like that would be a lot of fun to play online, a lot of fun to play co-op, and actually, I'd have to say probably a pretty damn good game for September.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what I do want to add is they did show the opening cinematic trailer mm-hmm. for the actual game
with Anya, right?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did like is that they showed what the actual story for Gears 3 is going to be.
A recap for people like us who
for people who, you know, just played them. It was like, oh, there's a story to this. I was just playing the game.
I just wanted to chainsaw some people.
That's exactly what it's like. I was looking at the trailer, like, wait a minute, there's a story to this whole thing?
I find that a bit odd that they released that. I figure it's still, once again, kind of the, oh man, Xbox game of the year. But Karen Travis, I believe her name, the book writer for the book, for the games based on the book, she's writing uh-huh. the story, so I think they're actually kind of pimping out the story of this game.
That should be good, but I do like that. There is one thing I want to add. I did spot, what's his name, the sergeant guy?
Sergeant Hoffman.
Colonel Hoffman
or whatever.
I did spot him in the trailer, and I really hope he's a big part of Gears 3, because I thought in Gears 1, he was awesome to actually hear over like the loudspeaker and stuff, or whatever kind of overhead voice they'd say when the missions are over and all that. I did like hearing him in Gears.
All I remember is him yelling at me when I got my ass kicked in multiplayer.
I love that. I hope they bring him back.
All in all, I wasn't expecting to see too much from Gears from Gamescom, because, once again, I probably should have done some research, but has Gears ever even been playable over in Germany? I know it's like a European games festival, but I think Germany's banned both Gears of War games. I don't know if they're ever over there.
Really?
Yeah, they kind of have that strict Australian ratings policy. Maybe those slip through. But
that Peggy crap.
Yeah, but it's just specific to Germany, too. I think Peggy's the European one. Uh-huh. We're so uninformed.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, I can see the other people like notes on the wall. Me and you are sitting there in our boxers scratching our ass like, oh, yeah, that sounds right to me.
Good enough.
Pass me a beer. You can feel like in the background. All in all, though, what I saw of Gears of War 3 made me feel confident in the purchase I made on it. I feel like it's going to be a really good game.
Me too. Okay, I'd like to actually talk about something different now as opposed to Gears. I want to talk about Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. I know, Logan, we've got one bit of information here, but it's one pretty huge bit of information.
Yeah, I'd say so. Once again, I know this podcast is quite young, but maybe everyone, we've referenced something about Zelda in this very topic, and I am pleased to say Skyward Sword finally has a freaking release date, November 20th, 2011. on that note, everybody who's going to listen to this knows how big a fan of Zelda games I am. Andrew, you're the bit of the skeptic, though. I mean, how do you feel about this game? Have you changed your opinion any or what?
To be honest, I have not, and I reaffirm my opinion when last night Matt came over, and we actually, I think I heard him talking about that, about the old Zelda game, where I just heard a quick mention from him that it was, he said, I love Zelda to death. I played it, you know, from the beginning, but it's just that they're not grabbing me anymore. You know, they're not getting me into it anymore. I can't just take it, you know, for the name itself. You know, I need a bit more than just the name. And I was 100% with him on that. I think he summed it up great, where I need more than just the name Zelda. I want something that's going to grab me. And right now, the only thing I'm seeing is motion control, and that's not grabbing me.
Well, the problem comes from this. I'm going to go see The Dark Knight Rises, and if it turns out that instead of focusing on Batman, it's Bruce Wayne doing accounting work at Wayne Enterprises, then that's not a good Batman movie. So if Zelda all of a sudden turned into a third-person shooter, that's not a good Zelda game, because that's not what we play Zelda for. And I just feel like with orchestrated music and the way these motion controls, I think, are going to help the gameplay, this is the definitive Zelda. I really think it's going to turn out fantastic.
Well, it's just, I'm not saying it's going to be a bad game or anything like that. To anyone listening, I'm not dissing the game. I'm not doing anything like that. It's just,
you better not.
Oh, no, sir. No, sir. But it's just, with all the things coming out now and just not being a fan of the Wii or its motion control remote and all that, it's just, to be honest, when November comes around, I'm going to be playing Skyrim before I play Skyward Sword.
As much as I want to disagree, that's a great point that I do feel like the whole gaming industry has to, or maybe it's just people like us, but there is such a thing as gaming time. Even somebody who has infinite free time, they only have so many times to play video games, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to balance out your budget. I, of course, will put Skyward Sword at the top of my list, but when it comes down to it, games get passed over because, just like you say, they're not different enough. And just like you and Matt say, you know, maybe Zelda's just, it's just the same old crap to you. I feel like I'm apparently the minority when you see sales that Call of Duty. I'm not going to put any of my gaming time into Call of Duty because it's the same old shit, and I don't see how people could do it. But that's a good point. There is such a thing as priority with your gaming dollar and gaming time.
Yeah. I know there have been incidences where both you and I have had where we've had so many games that we imagine ourselves like the juggling acts in the circus where we're just spinning those games in the air the whole time. And that is the worst time to have games to play because I think you can't sink enough time into this stuff and you can't put enough effort into one single thing. And it's going to ruin an experience, or I guess not ruin, but it's going to bring down an experience that you would otherwise really love if it was in a different month of the year.
You come to the point where you just want to beat the game. And the worst part is, this used to be the holiday problem, right? You know, when it comes down to November and December, those are the times where you've got all these games starting from August or something, and you got to play through them all.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem is there's so many of them now. For a while, you had to, you know, it'd spill over to January, February, March. But the problem now is that all the good games are coming out in January, February, March now. So it's like literally August to March is just games. Every other week, it feels like, is a huge game.
So November to February, you just got one gigantic box.
Honestly, it's like a full-time job if you want to play all the games you want to play.
You'll need a personal assistant just to figure out what you're going to get to play.
Only problem with that is it doesn't pay, and you have to pay to get them. So yeah. Not a great job to have.
Personal assistant that has a money slot next to it.
Hey, exactly. All right, moving away from Zelda, I feel like we've talked enough about that. Let's go to something way different. This was an announcement I really didn't see coming. I don't know if it was technically a Gamescom announcement. I had it a bit before, but Valve let it slip that Counter-Strike Global Offensive is a game they have in development. It's coming to the Xbox Live Arcade, the PlayStation Network, and the PC. And it's pretty much what a lot of people like me and you have been waiting for and thought would be a good idea. It's a downloadable Counter-Strike game that's just bare bones and what it should be, a fun little game. What do you think about this, Andrew?
Quite honestly, I was surprised that they're going to do an arcade game. I thought Counter-Strike could be a full-fledged game if they wanted to.
Really?
Yeah.
You really think that?
I do. I honestly, I do. And just for the fact that it you don't even need to put like a single player or anything in that. It's just you can make a full-fledged Counter-Strike that's just like the old PC Counter-Strike, where it's just a gigantic list of death matches and capture the flags and all that. And it's just, you know, the experience of the game, of playing the game, not so much as there's a story or a need to make sequels out of that particular game.
I have to totally disagree, because there's one game, I think, and I think you're going to agree with me, that is the ultimate example of function over form.
I know,
and it
exactly
is Battlefield,
what you're
gonna say, 1943. Yeah. Three maps, three classes, infinite amounts of fun.
Yeah, and it's great. I'm not going to say anything bad about Battlefield, but there are moments that we do play that, and we're like, oh, hey, oh, I got to play Guadalcanal again, or oh, hey, I got to play, you know,
exactly,
but play Iwo Jima again.
To be fair, we've been playing that game for 3 years. Well, 3 years, isn't it? Or is it 2 years? Solid. Excuse me.
2 years.
2 years solid, you know, on a game that's just a downloadable little quick throwaway title. And Counter-Strike, I love Counter-Strike, but I feel like at the core, it's a lot of fun to play a Counter-Strike game. And if it was a quick 1,200 point, all it is online, eight or so maps, the same old Counter-Strike you know and love, I feel like that would be a perfect move, and I would buy it instantly, because that would be a lot of fun to play with friends, and a lot of fun to play on Xbox Live, because you never really got a chance to.
I hear what you're saying, and I do, you know, you do make a very good point with that, but it's just, I thought even with Battlefield, they did nothing to it. They made it, and then they forgot about it, and didn't care about it, and I would like to see Counter-Strike given a little more to it than just an arcade game that they're going to release and not give patches for, extra for.
That is absolutely true. And not only is that a Counter-Strike, we're talking about Valve now, who pretty much despises the Xbox and the way they do their updates. And fair enough, I understand there's a lot of strings attached, but I believe Mortal Kombat's a game that's proven. And Monday Night Combat, was that what it was called? Another game that they build it into the game where they can make tweaks, not so they don't have to deliver a full update. It's just a tweak to the game, so they don't have to do that. And I'd like to see Valve put forth some effort to do something like that. I don't know if they will, but I'd hate for this to be a Team Fortress 2 on the orange box on Xbox, where it's just dead because it gets no support as compared to the PC and PS3.
Yeah. But speaking of Valve, are they actually making this game, or is it somebody else that they're just buying out and taking over?
Well, I don't think they're buying anybody out this time, but once again, our journalistic duties have failed, because I'm not sure on the specifics who developed, but I think it's just some outside company they've hired to develop a new Counter-Strike game. And from what I understand, it's kind of not simplified. Counter-Strike's a simple game as it is. It's not evolving, though. It's not Counter-Strike to, what was it, Counter-Strike, what was it called? Condition Zero, which was kind of just like a quick update to the first Counter-Strike. It wasn't so much a new game. That's what this is going to be, like Condition Zero 2. Just, eh. But still, Counter-Strike's fun on the score, and I like the decision to make it a downloadable title.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because, let's see, what game did Valve actually make? They made Half-Life.
Half-Life 2.
Oh, Half-Life 2.
So Half-Life 2 expansion packs.
You're right on the money. And not giving to them, is that the best idea?
Well, I'm not sure the development on this, but let's face it, Valve's not a developer anymore. They're just in the business of Steam and all that. They're the middleman. They should change it into the middlemen. That would be their freaking title. All right, Gamescom, a lot of stuff happened, but most of it, like I said, was E3, Comic-Con, not rehashing, but more of the same, really. So I'm going to switch gears from the news, so to speak, and go to this. We have talked about it this podcast and definitely last one, and probably, once again, a common theme, all of our other podcasts, the summer drought of video games. There is nothing to play in the summer months. They just squeeze us. That's why we were talking about playing Fallout New Vegas and Street Fighter 4 in the opening segment. Finally, Andrew, the first pretty damn big game of the fall season comes out, and it comes out tomorrow, Deus Ex Human Revolution. And it's been getting great reviews, and I'd like to know, what's your opinion of this game? Are you excited for it? Do you plan to play it? What?
Well, I can't say I'm extraordinarily excited, but I do want to play it, and I'm not going to buy it. Every one of my friends are going to buy it, and they're going to have it day one, and I'm going to probably not get it until Gamefly actually gives it to me. But I do honestly feel like this game I hadn't been looking too forward to it, but it's going to be pretty good is what I can see. I can see being kind of surprised by it and kind of, you know, kind of surprised by the enjoyment I'll get out of it.
Definitely. And Jay never listens to these, but he, as much as he'd like to defend the first game, it's a game that the perfect way I think to describe the first Deus Ex game is in 2000, it was way ahead of its time. But as soon as 2002 came around, it was just a relic. It got passed pretty quick. And the second game I thought was actually just pretty shitty, but I feel like this game will be a pretty good reflection of, you know, the 2011 gaming scene, and it'll do a lot of things right. And everything I've seen of it looks pretty damn good. I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, I can say I always like to mirror things to other things of the same subject. And I'm going to say this game to me is going to be like that Chronicles of Riddick game, where mm-hmm. it's going to get a footnote in the history of video games because it was really good in the year it came out, and it's just there was no other reason to talk about it the next year, so it's going to get that little bitty mention in history.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those games. But excited for Deus Ex or not, I feel like this is a good time to point out that I just hit on it earlier, this is the game I feel like that is going to start the avalanche of games. And maybe not. Maybe this isn't the huge game like an Uncharted 3, a Zelda, a Gears of War 3, you know, Halo or some crap like that. But this is a big budget game. You know, you see commercials for it and shit. And a couple weeks of that Dead Island, another kind of high profile game. Once this game comes out, the fall game season, I say, technically starts, and that's cool.
It is our preseason to the actual football season of video games.
But not to diss the game, because preseason football absolutely sucks. But I am actually very excited for this game, and I'm looking forward to sinking my teeth into it.
Oh, yeah, me too. All right, we finished up with What Are You Playing, the news, and we've talked a bit about Deus Ex. And so now we're going to get into everyone's favorite, the Rapid Fire.
All right, Rapid Fire we shall, Andrew. First topic of the night, the PS3. It actually got a price drop announced at Gamescom. It's going from about $300 to $250. Does this excite you?
No, not really. I see they still have the backwards compatibility out of the system, and there's no reason to drop it where they could just leave it as it is and put backwards compatibility in.
As strange as it is to say, backwards compatibility is a pretty big deal with the PlayStation. I don't know. $250 is pretty good, though, since they have a Blu-ray player, and those are still kind of expensive. I already have access to a PS3, so it doesn't affect me, but if someone's looking to get one, it's a pretty good price for it. The problem I've always had with the PS3 is if you have an Xbox or PC or a PC, you know, any if you already have one of them, you don't really need another one. I like Uncharted. I'm sure, you know, I like Gears of War, but if I had a PlayStation, I would not buy a 360 just for Gears of War or something. It's just one of those things, you pick your poison, and if you're already in, you've already picked a side. I don't know, unless you're some late adopter, why would you be jumping in now? Next topic up, Capcom's decided to do a little contest celebrating the release of Resident Evil 4 and Resident Evil Code Veronica X HD, or whatever the hell they're calling them now. It revolves around sharing stories about playing past Resident Evil games and experiences. We text, voice messages, pictures, any of that kind of shit. They're claiming they'll send you a mystery prize if you participate. Andrew, does this excite you in any way?
I think it'll be kind of fun. It all depends on what kind of mystery prize they give me. If it's like just a shirt, then I'm not really going to care or take the time to do anything like that. But if it's something more, then I could see doing something like that to have a little trophy on the wall.
Knowing Capcom, they'll give me a canceled game in return, so fuck you, Capcom. Next! Moving on, Metal Gear Solid 3. Part of the HD collection that they're going to release later this fall. Show some footage of it for the first time at Gamescom. What do you think about this, Andrew? Does this whole package excite you? Did you like the footage?
I do like the footage, and I do like the whole bundle together in HD, but like I was reading when I read about that, the person writing the article did complain that there's just nothing more to it. It's just Metal Gear HD, and they do have a point with that.
I agree. We were actually talking about this tonight in the party that it's kind of like Resident Evil 4 HD. I love Metal Gear Solid 3 is one of my favorite games ever. Resident Evil 4 is one of my favorite games ever, but it's not like it's true HD redone. It's just, you know, upscaled. And nothing wrong with that, but buying this game, even for Peace Walker, I've already played the game. I've played the hell out of the games. Not to say there's anything wrong with the game, but I just can't be that excited for a game I've already played about 10 times. Next. Next topic up, Battlefield 3, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. They've been sniping each back and forth with each other since E3. Apparently this little battle has heated up a little bit. Andrew, I'm not too familiar. Fill me in.
Okay, from what I know, the story goes, EA said something about, quote, they hope Call of Duty rots from the core. And here at Gamescom recently, they asked Activision if they had any response to that, and Activision gave them the standard no response, no comment type of deal, whereas EA spokesperson Jeff Brown then proceeded to say something along the lines of, welcome to the big leagues, Activision. Games have become a competition. You need to get in it or you're going to be out of it. And so basically wow. It's just this big war that's been going on between the two of them where Activision's tried to be the big man, tried to be the bigger man in the whole deal. But they're kind of coming off as a bit pushovery compared to EA's bullheadedness on this.
Wow. I was actually not prepared for that. This is kind of a pot calling the kettle black thing for me. I like how EA is poking fun at Call of Duty because that franchise does need to rot from the core. But, I mean, you're releasing Battlefield 3. It's the same fucking shit, EA. Don't act like you're better than them. You both suck. Next. All right. Next up, this is kind of a funny one. Suda51, No More Heroes guys, they recently had a hand in The Shadows of the Dam, a game I played and thought was pretty good, I guess. Lollipop Chainsaw is their new property. They showed it off at Gamescom. It's got a release for next year. Andrew, what did you think of the trailer they showed?
I've heard little things about it here and there, but never really paid too much attention until Logan just tonight told me to watch the trailer. And after watching it, I gotta say, it was pretty funny, and it looks like it will be kind of a, not completely Bayonetta style, but pretty just fun, over the top, woman just abusing these zombies type of deal, and I got the thumbs up on it.
I gotta admit, when I first saw the trailer, I didn't really know what to think about it. It was, you know, it was definitely out there, but I actually like that. I love these kind of games, the action games like Bayonetta, Devil May Cry, that kind of style, and it's different, and maybe it's a little too different, but games like this that try to be different and have a little charm to them, I love that. Compared to shit like Call of Duty, Battlefield, the same old sports game, shooting games, I need a little variety, and I feel like games that try to be different and succeed at it, I can definitely get behind those, so I will definitely try this game out when it comes next year. Next. All right, moving on. Borderlands 2. Wasn't technically at Gamescom that they announced it, but a little before it, shut off a trailer. The game was announced. Gearbox is working on it. It's coming out next year. Andrew, are you excited for this announcement?
Well, I think I'm going to put Borderlands 2 in the same place I put Borderlands 1. It's it was a fun game to play, and I thought it was pretty neat, but it's just none of my friends are really into it, and so I pretty much played it alone, and I'll wait until it's under $20 before I even pick it up.
Well, I certainly know what you're talking about because I tried to play it alone and I absolutely hated Borderlands 1. I don't know. I don't really have an opinion of it because I didn't get to play it that much. If we were to all get this game, you know, at the same time I had a group of three friends to play it with, I'd try it out, but I'm not too excited for it just on that merit. Next. And finally, moving on to one of my favorite topics to discuss, Star Wars The Old Republic. They had a huge showing at Gamescom, but once again, they left a tiny little detail out, a motherfucking release date. Andrew, what's your opinion on this mess?
I despise MMOs, and I will not touch The Old Republic, but even me, even not caring about this game in the least, I'm getting annoyed at having to discuss about how there's no release date.
I'll say it for the millionth time, and I know I even said about it on the podcast. This game is costing EA and BioWare so much money, and they will never be able to recoup their losses on it. Fuck you guys. You should have made Knights of the Old Republic 3. It would have been out 3 years ago. It would have been amazing. Why did you make this a massively multiplayer online role-playing game? Jesus.
Dang.
And I believe after that rant, that will do it for the rapid fire. Holy, holy rant, Batman. But I believe that will do it for podcast number 4. As always, any kind of comments you have on the quality or any of the format, just let us know below. But I would like to extend to you, Andrew, welcome to the fall gaming season. I believe we're finally here, right?
It's good to be here, sir.
Summer drought, is it over?
I would hope to say so.
Oh, man. I guess expect another podcast in about a month, maybe before that if something good happens, but definitely before Gears of War 3 comes out. I hope y'all enjoyed listening. We'll see you next time.
See you later.
Gears of War 3 made a bit of a showing at Comic-Con. God damn it. Fucking Germans and their stupid names.
See you later. How about that?
It's still a bit Bozo the Clownish, but I'll
how should I do it? What would be a good one for you?
You should say it like you're pissed off at the audience and you're just annoyed that you were here and you're glad to be gone. Like, see you later.
Fucking see ya.
That's the one I'm putting in there then.